The Steve Malzberg Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Good day, everybody. Good day wherever you're at. And good day, good night. And hopefully you're living peacefully and happily and having a great day. This is Joe Hoft. I'm filling in for Steve Malzberg today. Again, as in yesterday, we've got a great show. Great show lined up for you, so I'm happy you're here. We got a lot to talk about, so I just love that piece coming in for this segment right before this. The news saying, "Can we trust America? Can we really trust America?" That whole the incident supposedly of the U.S. Crashing some sort of I heard it was like a refrigerator-sized instrument into an asteroid. I don't doubt that they did that. I think the question that really needs to be asked is this necessarily to stop asteroids, or is this some sort of special defense or even offense technique that the U.S. is working on? Hopefully, it's the latter. Of course, we need to clean up what's going on in the U.S. Of course, we need to clean up the mess that our government is. Absolutely. But I'd rather see this type of technology in the U.S.'s hands than China's right now. But then again, we're not too far from China. So anyways, welcome tonight. Steve's not going to make it. He'll be back tomorrow night. And we've got, like I said, a great show. Last night we had Larry Johnson on. I hope you enjoyed that. Larry's a former CIA, former State Department. I just actually was texting him moments ago. He's located in Florida, and we've got a hurricane approaching Florida from the Gulf side. And he's right, seems to be pretty much right in the direction, although he's not on the coast. So he's protected a bit. So, you know, God bless Larry tonight. But yeah, that seems to be the big news in the U.S. I don't know how many people have mentioned it to me over the past really 24 to 48 hours about this hurricane. It must be the only thing the news can talk about. And fortunately, most people can, you know, would still trust the news to report on a hurricane, whether it's a hurricane or not. So fortunately, they haven't screwed that up and lost all integrity altogether. But that's the big news in the U.S. We had some big news overnight in Europe for the couple pipelines, the Nord Stream 1 and 2. Apparently, look like there's been sabotage that has blown those up. That's going to cause some real challenges for the European Union this winter. Be some cold people, maybe dying people because they don't have heat. And I've heard the cost of heat in some of those countries is just up hundreds of percents over the past year or so. So God bless the people in Europe. That seems to be a big story, but at the same time, in Ukraine, as noted in the news earlier too, three or four of these areas that were Russian-speaking territory in the Ukraine, three or four of them were just today voted on and announced that they're becoming part of Russia. So Russia's got Crimea now and these other parts of the Ukraine, kind of, and they sent out a message: "Hey, if you threaten us, bomb these people, do anything, we're going to consider that an act of war." So, pretty amazing stuff happening in this world. In the U.S., another thing that's really big that we've been covering here at the Gateway Pundit, and many of you know, I work with my twin brother Jim Hoft at the Gateway Pundit. Jim's the founder. I mentioned last night a bit of his story, how he started the website back in 2004. Today we're getting about 2.5 million hits a day. Last year we had about 900 million, almost a billion hits last year. We're one of the biggest websites in the world today. And that's all due to just some hard work, doing the same thing over and over again, day after day. Jim did this for years. He did about 10 posts a day for about 10, 12, 15 years. It wasn't until, about 12 years, actually. It was basically all Jim. And then he started to get some writers to help him. But it was basically him. And in 2016, basically Jim took on mainstream media. And after the election, after President Trump won, the lefties freaked out. And they thought they had it all wrapped up because they had all the legacy media all in their pocket. They're all pushing Hillary, saying nasty things about Trump. Of course, nobody in America likes that woman. I had two sisters that were far left at the time. and they hated Hillary. Neither one voted for Hillary. They voted for the Green Party. I mean, the Dems, and so the Dems tried to steal that, and it fortunately didn't work. Trump got too many votes, and he won the election. And those two sisters, by the way, during the Trump years, changed their mind. They became big, huge Trump supporters. The places they were going, what they were reading on the internet, which wasn't the mainstream, they were saying, hey, this guy's the answer. He's not a politician. He's the anti-politician, and he's exactly the guy that we need in there. And he was, and he is. And we saw what they did to him. They tortured him really every day through the media, made up stories on him every day, pushed him through New York Times, Washington Post, day after day, lie after lie. The whole thing was conjured up by the Hillary Clinton campaign and the FBI and the CIA and foreign governments. And they had all these people work together to try to take President Trump down. It was a true coup d'etat. And unfortunately, to this day, no one has been held accountable. And they've got this Durham exam, which really seems to be more in place to protect the criminals than anything. Of course it is. Nobody's been charged. I mean, we could have charged people on day one of the Durham exam if it was legit. There was enough evidence in the public realm from the data that we could put together and the pieces we put together at the Gateway Pundit. By the way, that's when I met Larry Johnson. He started sharing with me, and a small group of us were just tearing apart the Mueller exam every day and the many, many lies that this group of totally conflicted, disgusting, evil people that were running that investigation. We were just destroying them with the truth. Anyways, I started writing for Jim in 2016, right before the election. And after the election, they said, yeah, the Gateway Pundit was bigger than CNN, maybe twice as many Facebook shares as CNN. So they had to stop that, and they did. And so censorship, we learned censorship early on. Jim spoke in front of Congress, the U.S. Congress, in a year or two later, and it was on deaf ears. And now here we are, a couple of years after that, we had the election. Then even the president of the United States was censored. I got kicked off Twitter for putting up true posts about Hunter Biden. And Jim did as well, and so did the Gateway Pundit. But we still move on, and we still set these record numbers because we share the truth. And I encourage you, if you haven't already, go to the Gateway Pundit and get your daily dose of truth there every day. And we work really hard to make sure our reporting is legitimate. And we have some great sources, and we have some great investigators that help us stay on the straight and narrow. And so we work really hard for that, and that's why we're growing. That's why we're, you know, bigger than a lot of sites out there, and really one of the biggest in the world today. So I encourage you to go there, check out the reports that we put up daily. And in addition to that, while Jim was building the Gateway Pundit, I was in the corporate world, and I landed myself in Hong Kong as a corporate executive there for about 10 years. And then in 2020 came back to the U.S. Right after the COVID started. Almost didn't make it out of Hong Kong. Fortunately made it back to the States and have been here ever since, and started writing for Jim full time then after I retired from my corporate job, and found myself on radio, and found myself here tonight. Today, this is my fourth actually episode on the radio today. I was a guest on two shows this morning in a radio station out of St. Louis. I was on a podcast this afternoon with an individual out of Florida. And here we are tonight on TNT Radio, filling in for Steve Malzberg. So it's a great honor to be here. Anyways, we're happy, you know, really happy that you're listening. And I think this is a great effort here. Great people that are putting this show together and the station, and they just want to share the truth. So appreciate you being here. We got a lot going on tonight. And so maybe I can start with that. Some of the stories in the U.S., if there isn't any more for me to fill you in on my story. So I jumped in and started helping Jim. My background's in auditing, and I've mentioned I was on the radio. I've had my own radio show. And also, I took a short break away from the radio here recently so I could finish my second book on the steel. It's my fifth book overall. And this book is called The Steel, Volume 2, The Impossible. occurs. And that was about the 2020 election and what happened on that infamous day, November 3rd, 2020, the day that the world changed. And I share a number of things in there. If you have anybody that you know that just doesn't quite think that there is anything wrong with that election, I encourage you to share a copy of this book. And this is volume one, volume two. Volume one is Setting the Stage. I encourage you to share that as well. But the books are only $10 at Amazon and or Barnes & Noble. You can pick them up online. They'll be shipped right to you. So encourage you to do that. If you have this, want the soft copy, it's even less. So, I just lay it out from an auditing perspective. There's no way this election should have been certified. Absolutely no way. There was tremendous amount of pressure to get it in and to certify. It never should have happened. It was all planned. It was all the same crooks that attempted the coup d'etat of President Trump. There was their effort to push through. We got to do this now. We got to do this now. We got timetables. We never should have done boo. We should have said, no, we cannot certify an uncertifiable election. We need to do it over. And that's what should have been done. And there's all sorts of information in my recent book, the second book, The Steal. And I want to share a couple things with you. One, my first chapter, I think I shared last night, was about Scott Adams from Dilbert, how he just said, hey, the day that they, on November 3rd and November 4th, when they stopped allowing people to come in to see what was going on in these major locations, like in Philadelphia and Detroit and Atlanta and Las Vegas and Maricopa County, Phoenix, these key states, when they stopped allowing people to come in to check what was going on, to verify and validate that the election was being performed according to the law, at that point, the election was over. And we never should have done another damn thing except for redo. And instead, they allowed these uncertifiable results to go through. Of course, if what happened was we had Joe Biden take Pennsylvania 3 days after the election. On election day, he's behind by 700,000 votes in Pennsylvania, an insurmountable lead for President Trump. It was at one point 2-1, basically 2 million votes for Trump, 1 million for Joe Biden. And they started manufacturing those votes behind closed doors with nobody there. And wouldn't you know it, in 3 days, they'd somehow found 1 million votes for Joe Biden. And Biden wins. They give Biden the state by 80,000. That was all garbage. It never should have been certified. It was against the law. They even brought in the Trump team, even petitions the law. The judge said, yeah, you have a right to go in there. And the sheriff in Philadelphia wouldn't comply. He wouldn't let the Trump people in still. So they sat there for 3 days and waited for the final count. And wouldn't you know it, Joe Biden wins Pennsylvania, a huge state, which was really the turning point in the election. And the same stuff happened in Wisconsin. And I go through these numbers in the book. In the middle of the night, 140,000 votes for Joe Biden. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? All for Joe Biden only? We saw in Virginia, a state that Trump was ahead all night. They called it for Biden and Trump was ahead on the news. And we saw after that point in time, 300,000 votes for Joe Biden only go through in Virginia three times after that point in time. We got the data. We saw these. We started to see these glitches on air. We called it the drop and roll, massive drops of ballots and then roll. From that point forward, every single batch that went through was the same proportion of Biden to Trump, 51% Biden, 49% Trump. It's impossible. These results were impossible from an auditing perspective, impossible. And not just in one state, but we saw it in multiple states. In Georgia, 3 days after the election, suddenly Biden's given the election by 12,000 votes. On the day after the election, Wednesday morning, the corrupt Secretary of State there, Raffensperger, said, hey, there's no way that Trump is going to lose. There just isn't enough votes left, and Trump's up by 100,000. There's not even 100,000 votes left. So he's going to win. And he said that on national air. And 3 days later, they gave the election to Joe Biden. Now, how does that work, folks? It doesn't. It's corruption. And it's the only way the Democrats can win is to cheat, lie, and steal. And that's what they're doing now. They just announced another $12 billion going to Ukraine. Where's that going? Whose pockets is that really going in? How much making it to the Biden family? How much to the Pelosi Family Trust? How much to the Obama Family Trust? How much to the Clinton Foundation? The Romney Foundation? How many of these people are getting their cut of this money? Where is it going? And who, and you know, to whom and for what? We don't know. And so, yeah, so when these guys ask at the beginning of the show, can we really trust the U.S. NASA? Well, I'd have to agree with them. I don't know if we can. I just don't know that we can. The U.S. had, I'd heard when Trump came in, the U.S. was way behind in space wars, and that's why he set up the new Army for Space. And it was absolutely needed because we were falling behind. Thank you, Barack Obama, after 8 years of Obama. Now we've got another 2 years of Obama, and look at it. And we'll be getting into this after the break. So anyways, we're going to take a short break. I've got an incredible guest joining us, a good friend of mine, and you're just going to love her. And she's we'll be talking the truth. And so I really appreciate you being here. We'll be back shortly with Jessica Laurent, a good friend of mine. This is Joe Hoff filling in for Steve Malzberg on TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Trish Wood.
I will tell you now exactly what I found out in my looking at this. That this is a size Z breast prosthetic. It is comical. It is ludicrous. It has no place in a school. It is absolutely, in my humble opinion, fetish gear. But because it's going into the school under the guise of a trans person, so he claims to be, no one ever is able to kind of diagnose this. They just make the claim. I suspect that he's a cross-dresser with a fetish, but what do I know? And so he's going into the shop class where he teaches, I think grade 9, with this. I mean, it's enormous. You can't even believe how big it is. It's pornographic. Here's how pornographic it is. The company that sells it, it's a company called Dokia, D-O-K-I-A. In their video sales pitch for it that runs on YouTube, they actually have a warning. Right? Like you can't watch this video. It may be upsetting to some people or one of those things, right? It's a censorship warning before you click on this. So it's fine for the people selling it to say that. God bless them for doing it. Yet the kids at Oakville Trafalgar have to confront this every day they're in that person's class. It is ridiculous.
Trish Wood on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
No word in the English language is less convincing. Then probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is the Steve Malzberg Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hey, welcome back. This is Joe Hoff filling in for Steve Malzberg tonight. Today it's night where I'm at. Today maybe where you're at. And it's a pleasure and an honor to be here on TNT Radio. So much to share, but I've got a special guest I want to introduce to you. And her name is Jessica Laurent. Jessica, are you there with us?
I am here, Joe. How are you?
Sounds like you're like right next door or right next to me. It's unbelievable. Real clear. So I'm great. Yeah, I'm great. I'm like, man, I'm looking over my back like, is she right behind me or what?
Yeah.
Wow. So, hey, I'm great. And I'm so happy to have you here. Jessica and I go, I guess, way back, at least for a couple years. And we were both on the radio show in St. Louis. And we've been on the show together a couple times. And I just love Jessica. She's got an amazing story. And I just wanted to share her with you guys tonight. And so maybe, Jessica, would you like to share your story? That's really what I think is so impressive. But how's that sound?
That's always good. I always love sharing my story. Yeah, thanks for having me here. You know, I always love when we are together because it's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. It's just so much fun. And, you know, both of us are very controversial, so people don't know how to really deal with the two of us together in the same space.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yes, Jessica LaRont Clark. Yeah, just a crazy story. So I am, I mean, some people can tell by my voice, but I am a Black woman. I hate to use the word African-American because, again, like I have no association with the continent of Africa. So I am a Black woman. I am an American. Yeah, born and raised in the inner cities, really growing up kind of rough. My mother spent 17 years in prison. My father spent 10 years in and out of prison. So my great-grandparents raised myself and my two siblings. So they were 67 and 77, raising three kids under five. My sister was five, my brother was three, and I was 6 weeks old. So they really did the best that they could. Yeah. But at that age, you know, they're really just trying to keep us alive. So, you know, there was a lot of, you got these traumatized kids. They lost their parents. Their parents were taken away and now they're in this new environment. And so, you know, as much as they tried, there wasn't a lot of structure. There was a lot of trauma. So my sister was sexually abusive. She was just very angry because, again, she dealt with some abuse. She lost her mom. She was old enough to understand the loss. So there was some physical abuse. There was all kind of abuse. It was just really rough. And we did the best that we could. You know, our grandparents did the best that they could. But, you know, what do you do? My grandfather died when I was 15. So at that age, it, again, like nobody talks about this, this 15-year-old girl not having a active father in her life, of course, that turns me to the streets, that turns me to society to kind of guide me as a woman. So I meet this man at 15, pregnant at 15, got an abortion, pregnant again at 17 by this 21-year-old man. I'm 15, he's 21. So you can imagine the power dynamic between the two of us. And so this relationship was extremely abusive. Here I am, a 17-year-old mom trying to figure out my way. And of course, what do? You get on welfare. You get on welfare because you have to take care of this kid. I mean, I barely graduated from high school. So I love telling this story because in retrospect, it really brought me to where I am today. So I remember being a 17-year-old mom sitting in the welfare office and I sat next to this couple. They were working on their master's degrees, just had a baby. We had a great conversation. It made me feel, you know, kind of like, oh, maybe this is for me. Because if you've never been in a welfare office, it's not a nice place to be. You're very uncomfortable and these people are really going through it. So I remember them going back from their appointment and the woman coming out crying and I never knew why. And I'll get to how that kind of came back around later. So I'm dealing with this abusive relationship. I mean, it was just really horrifying. There were moments where this man essentially held me hostage in a room, kind of kicking my butt in front of my daughter. So, you know, just trauma, a lot of trauma. Fast forward, I get married. I meet this amazing guy, get married, have my second child, and he ends up getting cancer. So here we are. We're starting over. We're doing something really good. I'm thinking, you know, look at me. I'm getting married. That's what you're supposed to do. I'm very proud of myself. But he gets cancer and we're in a really tough financial situation. We just got this baby. So what do? We're like, okay, we can go get some assistance from the state. We'll get some welfare just to kind of help us get through this. So I remember walking into the welfare office and I mean, I walked in proud, like, look at us. We're married. We're doing good by our kids. This is great. And the lady started going through the numbers and she's like, well, I don't know who you think you are. Why don't one of you work? And why do you pay this much for rent? And I mean, she really made us feel horrible. And I think they gave us probably like $20 of food stamps, just barely nothing. But as a 17-year-old mom without a husband, they gave me food, housing, child care, health benefits, everything. And in that moment, I realized why that woman walked out crying. They rejected her also because she was married. And then I realized, like, there's something wrong with this system. I couldn't pinpoint what it was, but I'm like, this is not made to empower people. This is really like modern day slavery. But As I said, I'm a Black woman in a Black community. Who's the political demon? It's the Republicans and the conservatives. Like, so I just assume this has to be a Republican policy, because, of course, as they tell me, everybody knows you're racist and you hate Black people. So, of course, this has to come from you, because it's directly harming the Black community. I was a raging liberal. I would go to work, you know, especially during like the Black Lives Matter, when that all came about, I would go to work knowing, you know, I could use the race card. My boss would, you know, call me out on being late, and I would call her a racist, even though I was late and I wasn't doing the work that I needed to do, but I knew all I had to do was call her a racist and she would back off. So here I am, crazy, raging liberal, and I meet this guy, we're dating, and he starts talking about Trump. And I'm rolling my eyes. I do what y'all do, roll my eyes. I'm just like, this is like, look, we're not going there. I don't want to hear about this racist. Like, I know all about him, yeah. When really I knew nothing. But just, you know, the whole spiel that people go into without having any facts to back it up. If that was me.
Right.
But he was very, you know, very strategic about it. He would turn on The Apprentice, and I would kind of laugh because I'm like, this man is kind of witty. And then he would turn on, you know, this thing breaking down his body language. And I'm like, man, this dude is brilliant. But he can't, you know, I had this cognitive dissonance. You can't be brilliant and a racist. I can't love you and hate you. I can't think you're great, but also think that you hate me and my people. So I'm like, okay, you know, you got to choose. Let's play with the idea that he's not what everybody says he is. And so as I went through that, it started opening my eyes. I started seeing how the media manipulated things and how they blatantly lied. And it's like, if you lied about that one thing, what else did you lie about? So that just opened the floodgates for me. And I ended up reading Candace Owens' book about Blackout. And it gave me the history of Black people and how we were Republicans and how things changed and how the welfare system is really a democratic structure that is really, you know, set up to keep us enslaved and really it is to get the vote. And so once you hear the truth, like they said, the truth will set you free. And it did. Like, you don't get me to shut up about this. Like, everybody has to know about this. But what you don't know is that people aren't receptive because they don't want to open their eyes to the reality, because then they have to actually take responsibility for themselves. It's easier to blame somebody else. Mm-hmm. So I thought I was going to be welcome with open arms, and that was not what happened. Not what happened at all. So yeah, so I ended up, you know, like you said, we're on the radio. I got a conservative talk radio show. I mean, went from being a raging liberal to like the poster child for Black conservatism. And now I sit on my local school board as a conservative. So it's been a crazy, crazy journey. And I mean, the things we go through as conservatives, it's like, I never thought, like, again, I grew up in the hood, but being a conservative in this society right now is more ghetto than anything I've ever dealt with.
I love it when you say that, ghetto. You go ghetto.
It is. Like, it is.
There's a certain way ghetto. How you say that. And I love it. Yeah, it's fantastic. No, Jessica, you got such a great story, and you're such a great role model for your daughters and for so many people. And I, as you're talking, I'm just thinking, yeah, there are times, you know, and even before this segment, I was talking about my book, The Steal. And I know there's people out there that might be listening to this saying, this election wasn't stolen. Don't tell me that. And they will never crack my book. They will never open it up. But I'm telling you,
if you open
it
up,
you see. Just look, here it is, guys. I'm not biased. I don't, I just want the truth. And I laid it out there as a professional auditor, doing 200-300 audits around the world in my career, overseeing them, going to board meetings, you know, audit committee meetings of boards for years. And I'm like, I'm not going to lie. It's part of my professional ethics not to. And I went through this. It's easy. It was easy to see this thing was a scam and a sham, you know? It never should have been certified. And that's the point I made. It never should have been certified. And we were placed with this, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. We've got to get this done by this date, this date. No, we didn't. We didn't have to. And those standards that were put in place are garbage. And now they're voting on another bill where they're going to mandate this, put it even further in depth that a VP can't step in at that point and say, hey, these numbers are fraudulent. We're not going to accept them. That's the proper thing to do. When something's wrong, you don't certify it. You fix it. And that is what the opposite of what happened with Trump in 2020. So, but your story is just like, you want to come up and you want to share with people, hey, look what I've seen. Look, I've seen the light. You know, this guy, this Trump guy's not so bad. As a matter of fact, Republicans, hey, Abraham Lincoln was a Republican. He set the slaves free. Yeah. What's going on here? Yeah. Oh, segregation? That was Democrats. Oh, you mean, these articles in the Constitution that are for freedom? Oh, they were all voted on by Republicans. Not a single Democrat voted on them. And you're like, what? Mm-hmm. You know, I thought Republicans were the racists. No, it's the opposite. And you're so right. Yeah. I think these Democrats, it's all a strategy. Here's my theory. I'll say it out loud. Democrats hate blacks.
Oh, you better believe it.
You know? You have to do the policies that they're doing. I mean, they're destroying the black family.
Yes, everything they do is like, okay, let's put more money into social reform, because you're never going to be beyond welfare. So we have to create a structure, because you're never going to be able to sustain yourself. We have to get affirmative action. You'll never get into an Ivy League college. We have to help you. We got to lower the standards for you.
Right.
You're not good enough.
And they're doing that now under Biden. I mean, in the U.S. Army, they're lowered the standards for people to come in. It's like, what are you doing? We don't want dumber people in the Army. We want smarter people, you know? But
we're so worried about the Army pronouns. Like, oh, did you misgendered somebody? Like, that's what our military is worried about.
And, you know, and nobody cares about that. It's all nonsense. No. It's silliness. It's stupid. It's anti-human. We're men and women, and that's the way it is. And, very, very rare exceptions of people that might have been born, I don't know how you even say this.
I think it's intersex.
It's very rare. Yeah, it's very rare.
Yeah,
why are we doing this stuff? Why are we doing? Why are
it's
we allowing?
A demoralization. I heard that because we want to demoralize this.
Walk around in Quebec. You know what's that? Yeah. That was crazy.
It's insane. And you can't say anything about it because if you say something about it, then you're transphobic.
And you can't say that Democrats hate blacks, as true as it is. Instead, they throw this thing and they try to tell blacks, Republicans, conservatives are racist. Donald Trump's racist. Yeah. Not a racist bone in his body. He got an award with Muhammad Ali and Rosa Parks, of all people, the same time. These are Rosa. Yeah. That was her name. Rosa Parks, who sat on the bus and said, I'm not moving in the segregated Democrat South. She said, I'm not moving. And she got thrown in jail, I believe. And she started the movement where she did that. And then Martin Luther King, that fired him up. He's like, if this peaceful, young, beautiful woman can do that, I can stand up too. And that's how it is. One person can crush the entire idea of insanity. And here's the thing on the elections too. The black community has had their votes stolen for years. In these inner cities, we've seen it where they get greater than 100% voter turnout. That's impossible. Mm-hmm. I heard some guys share this in Georgia in front of the Senate there. They said anything over 90% voter turnout is very, very much likely fraud. If it's over 70, it's likely fraud. And we had in Fulton County, where's that, Atlanta, in the election, like 158 precincts greater than 90% voter turnout. It doesn't happen. It's a lie. And they're stealing the black inner city votes. They're making up votes there. That's what they think about blacks. And then as soon as they're done, goodbye. Don't bother me. Oh, you know, go get a job, you know? We've done enough for you. They don't care. Yeah. But then when the election comes around again, look what we've done for you. We've given you food on your table. We're giving you food stamps, a place to live. And by the way, you know, a little bit of money in your pocket. And I tell you what, it's immoral when they do that, because it destroys the soul. Because I really think there's something sacred about having a job. It gives you self-esteem.
Agency.
It gives you, yes, it's like worth. It's like, look, I can take care of myself. I can make an earning, and I'm not sitting at home getting handouts. I think handouts destroy the soul. That isn't the way God made us, I don't think.
Providing for yourself is the basic level of Maslow's hierarchy and need. You take that away, then you have no aspiration to climb that ladder to ever get to self-actualization. Mm-hmm. And they know that.
That's smart. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And you say, you know, you just say so many things, I think, Jessica, that are just so true. And they're just honest. And Trump's not a racist, and neither are conservatives. No. And as a matter of fact, it's disgusting and outrageous that these scummy people that are calling themselves Democrats, that they, of all people, would call me or any other conservative a racist. It's outrageous. It's absolutely outrageous what they do.
You have to take what they say. Anything they say, you just take the opposite of it, and that'll be the truth. You point it back on them. So if they point it on somebody else, it's usually about themselves. And that's how you find the truth. That's the only truth you can get from what they say.
Absolutely.
You know? So it's crazy. I mean,
and look at who's running the Democrat Party. We got Nancy Pelosi, Adam Schiff, Swalwell. These people, they lie. You just look at them and they lie. They're disgusting. There's something, it's really dark and evil. That's what's going on.
It's getting darker.
And we've got to stand up to it. And that's you know, thank God for this TNT radio and Steve Malzberg show and others that are just standing up, like yourself, making a difference. You're on your school board. And I hear that.
Yeah, you keep fighting.
That's challenging as well. You think it's over.
Every day.
And then,
it's never over.
Yeah. Well, that's something I'd like to hear what you say, but it reminds me of the story I heard this preacher once say, you know, David beat Goliath and he was promised a princess and he was promised money and a house or whatever. And he got them all. And he was happy. He was content, but God wanted him to be a king. And he had to go through a series of more hurdles. Threats, losing his life, horrible situations, and he became king. And I think that's what happens. So if you're under attack right now, it's because you're doing the right thing. So what can you tell us about this? Can you share right now what's going on with the board?
What really is happening is it's cancel culture. So they don't, you know, they found me talking about something that, you know, I was talking about, not necessarily about the district, but really just shedding light on the dangers of this transgender ideology and how we need to get it out of schools in general. I was just talking about how, you know, they labeled me an ableist because I used a word they didn't like, just really going through all the things that I've been through and how they've been attacking me. And they took it and gave it to the media and they said she's homophobic, she's transphobic, and this is hate speech. And so now they're creating all these policies to shut me up.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's a lie.
It's not.
You know, it's a lie.
It is.
So you just stand strong, you know.
Yeah. Yes.
You're over the target.
And they think they're going to make an example out of me.
Nah, don't let them. You're a beautiful young lady with a heck of a career ahead of you. You're very young, and you're already on a school board. And you're making a difference already because they have noticed you. And they don't want... it's like Sarah Palin when she was vice president. They destroyed that lady. They cannot let a woman, a gorgeous woman, be a conservative and be for family, God, and country. They will not stand for it, and they will try all their best to destroy you. So you just be strong and just do and share and do the things you're doing, because. That's the way it is in this world today. The censorship's outrageous. I was talking – Brian Colfage sent me a text today. He's this guy that lost three limbs during the Iraq war. He sent me a picture once showing him on this plane from Iraq to Germany. His body's blown apart, and he lost two legs and an arm. And they arrested him after he and Steve Bannon and a couple others got together and decided we're going to build a wall. The Republicans aren't helping Trump. The Democrats certainly aren't. They're trying to block it. It's his theme legislation. They won't. So they decide we're going to do it. And they raised money and they built two large sections of the wall in an impossible areas where the government wasn't going to build any. And then what happens? They get attacked by the Southern District in New York. They get thrown in jail. They get accused of stealing money from these funds that they received to build the wall. It was a lie. It was a total lie. And then they start threatening Colfage, we're coming after you. We're going to give you more charges. You either sign this or we're going to give you more charges. We'll make them up. And that's what they do. They just make them up. Mm-hmm. You know, today I see a January 6th guy did nothing wrong, grabbed a police arm in the Capitol on January 6th. He's got 7 years in prison now for that. You talk about overture. It's against our Constitution to do that, you know?
Meanwhile, you got today. Crime just out of control. You can go steal stuff out of Walgreens or Target and you won't get prosecuted. Yeah.
It, not at all. You can go in a jewelry store and rip it off, and you're in the inner city, you're set free. And even in St. Louis, that DA and this plan to destroy America is toxic. It's get DAs in these big cities that set criminals free. Mm-hmm. If they're making them into these zones like the movies we saw back in the, you know, for me, 30, 40 years ago, you know, Escape from New York and stuff. It's frightening what's happening. Anyways, Colfage says he just started a new website and AT&T just censored him. So, you know, you just keep getting hit and hit and hit. And we need to stand up. We need to stand together because together we are unstoppable. We're the majority, you know, and all that. Yes. So, Jessica, I tell you what, we're coming up towards the end of this segment. You're happy to stay on, or if you got a role, that's cool too. What's up to you?
Yeah, I'm gonna roll, finish getting the kids ready for bed and all that stuff.
Yeah, sure. Hey, God bless you. Thank you so much for joining me. We'll catch up again soon. Keep doing the right thing. Just keep doing the right thing.
Thank you.
And just keep looking ahead because you got great things ahead of you. So thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Yeah,
thank you. You're awesome. Okay, this is Joe Hoft. We're at Steve Malzberg's show on TNT Radio. We'll be right back.
Have we reached the Book of Revelation's end times? Is climate change driving the end of the world? Many college professors say so.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Marano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Marano.
Peace Professor Michael Clare of Hampshire College had the following to say in Salon Magazine. If our Earth continues heating at its exponential rate, our post-apocalyptic fantasies could become everyday realities. And here's the real apocalypse. Get ready. Here's what he said. We envision rising temperatures, prolonged droughts, freakish storms, hellish wildfires, rising sea levels, food riots, mass starvation, state collapse, mass migrations, and conflicts of every sort up to including full-scale war could prove even more disruptive and deadly. Persistent drought and hunger will force millions of people to abandon their traditional lands and flee to the squalor of shanty towns. That, ladies and gentlemen, is what your children are being taught at so-called institutes of higher learning. Take back your kids' education from professors like Michael Clare at Hampshire College. No more climate apocalypse. For the Marano Minute, this is Mark Marano on TNT Radio.
My therapist had told me that I needed to go to AA meetings, but I wasn't sure whether I wanted to go because I didn't want to be an alcoholic. That was not what I wanted to grow up and be. I didn't want to go to AA, but I did, and it wasn't what I expected by any means. It was friendly. I could feel it. I mean, I could feel the happiness. It's really great.
Visit AA.org for more information and download the Meeting Guide app to find a meeting near you.
Steve Malzberg on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hey, welcome back. This is Joe Hoft on the Steve Malzberg Show. That was fantastic having Jessica Laurent. She is awesome. I'm telling you, she's a gorgeous young lady. She's doing the right things. She's on the right track. You know, she needs your prayers. We all do. So please pray for her and for all of us. We're going to keep fighting. We're going to keep sharing the truth. And I just do believe that we stick together. We are massive. We just saw what happened in Italy. We're going to see it in 2022. We've got to stick together. We've got to ensure credibility in our elections, but we've got to get these absolute terrorists out of our government. The people that are calling us the terrorists, the people that are calling us God-loving, family-loving, Jesus-loving, good Christian Americans terrorists. It's outrageous. These people are animals. We need to bring them to heel. We need to take these criminals, arrest them, convict them and shove them into prisons or worse if the law requires it. Some of the things these people have done, like a coup d'etat of President Trump's administration, unforgivable. They need to be dealt with justice through our justice system. And we need to clean up this justice system and get rid of these corrupt Obama judges that are coming out and allowing people, throwing people in jail for 7 years, like this guy today, for holding a policeman's arm who no doubt was probably trying to beat somebody up in the Capitol on January 6th. It's outrageous what's been going on. There's like 900 people from January 6th now. Many of them have been convicted of crimes way overcharged. That is against our Constitution. That is what the Brits did to the Americans in 1776. And if you read the Declaration of Independence, that's what they said. We're tired of being charged for crimes that we didn't commit. We're tired of being way overcharged for crimes, being taken over to Britain and hung. We're tired of it. We're not putting up with it anymore. And that's where we're at again today. We're under a tyrannical government led by God knows who, because it ain't Joe Biden. That guy is out to lunch. He doesn't know where he's at. Nobody knows where he's at. This is the first time in world history that we know of that a group of people, a country, a significant country, the most powerful country in world history, doesn't know who's governing them. Because we have no idea. It ain't Joe Biden. We know that Barack Obama's people are all over the White House. So we can very much assume it's Obama, and it's George Soros, and it's China, and it's just mafia. It's just one big clan of nasty people. And by the way, the KKK, the Ku Klux Klan, which was a group of white hooded people that started in, I believe, after the Civil War and was rejuvenated in the early 1900s, Democrats. Those were all Democrats. It's a Democrat strategy. It was a Democrat effort to scare blacks from voting because they knew they were Republicans and they were going to vote for the party of Abraham Lincoln. So they threatened them, killed them. That's what the Democrats do. And they will do it again. And they are doing it now to people on January 6th. Lots going on. Just kind of checking the news. We see now in Arizona, Maricopa County, which is the county where it's the fourth largest county by population in the U.S. It's where Phoenix is located. Huge county. It was stolen in the 2020 election. A bunch of crooks running the county. Many of them say they're Republicans. They're animals is what they are. Probably Democrats. We've seen this across the board. Democrats are now running as Republicans because they can't win as Democrats across the country because people hate Democrats and what they're doing to this country. So then they run as and talk the talk, get voted in, and then vote straight Democrat. They're just in Maricopa. Now Maricopa set up a new, they're calling it the Ministry of Truth Committee. It's called the Maricopa County 2022 Elections Command Center. And you're not going to be allowed to enter unless you have a badge. And if you're with Gateway Pundit, you're not getting a badge. And just that's the way it is. And this is what they're doing to the truth today. And I mentioned earlier, I write for the Gateway Pundit. My name's Joe Hoft, and my brother Jim started the Gateway Pundit years ago, and it's become one of the largest websites in the world. We almost hit 1 billion hits last year, so that gives you a little bit of a measurement, a billion, not a million, a billion. And we're doing that by sharing the truth every day, and despite Twitter censoring us and kicking us off, and Facebook censoring us and kicking us off, and YouTube censoring us and kicking us off, Google, you Google Gateway Pundit, you'll get 10 pages of garbage, nasty hit pieces on the Gateway Pundit. Despite all that, we almost hit 1 billion hits last year. And every year it's gone up in volume, every year through last year. And it's because we share the truth and people want the truth and they will fight for it. So I encourage you to go to the Gateway Pundit when you can. I also encourage you to go out and grab my book, The Steal, Volume 1 or 2. They're both $10 each. You can get them at Amazon. They're a quick read, but they're succinct and to the point. I've had some great comments on my first book, and I noted one in my second book, and it came from President Trump. And here's what he said about my book. He says, "Thank you, Joe, for sending a copy of your book, The Steal, Volume 1, Setting the Stage." President Trump says, "It is straightforward and accurate. We won and they know it. I look forward to your next volume. Keep up the great work. With warmest regards, Donald Trump." How awesome for the President of the United States to send that to me. And that's on the back of the cover of my second book here on the election, The Steel, Volume 2. My third book on the election, and I believe it'll be my final. It's a lot of work putting these together, will be on the cover-up. And I intend to cover Maricopa County. I intend to cover all this corruption that occurred. Bill Barr turning the other way as massive fraud was happening. We have sheriffs that wouldn't enforce the law across the country. In cities like Philadelphia, where millions of ballots were generated, manufactured, where these machines were, the results were just made up. And so I intend to cover that in Volume 3. So that isn't out yet, but we'll be getting it to you hopefully shortly. It's a lot of work and just starting that volume now. I wanted to mention, you know, thanks to Joe Biden, the economy in the U.S. is just absolutely destroying now. The housing markets, if you go to Gateway Pundit, you'll see I put up a post moments ago, actually about 4.5 hours ago. It's about the Biden economy. Housing market's crashing. We got this worst stock markets in U.S. history right now. We're down 7,000 points this year alone. It's the most ever in a year. We've got bond market at an all-time 49-year low, inflation at a 40-year high. This is the Biden administration. This is what they do when they steal an election and want to destroy your country. This is, they're doing it. It's textbook how to destroy a great country. And we need to stand up because it's worth it. You are worth it, and I'm worth it. We're all worth it. And so I encourage you to get out there and follow the Gateway Pundit, help out, buy my book, buy some extra copies of my book, send them to your library, get them in your library, share them with your friends. It's been a pleasure to be with you tonight. We'll be back next week, filling in for Steve next week, a couple nights. God bless you. Thanks for listening in. Thanks for handling all these hiccups, and stay safe out there, and we need you. So be good and be strong. This is Joe Hoft on the Steve Malzberg Show.